Hey, good morning. It is good to be back. We were gone the last 2 weeks in Japan, and we're kind of back. We're looking forward to getting back, and it's traveling. It's one of those nice things to be able to step into your home and feel like you're finally back in a place that's comfortable. I felt like that this morning too when I walked into the church. I came in, I thought, yeah, this is home, right? This is where I'm supposed to be, where we're supposed to be. But it is great to be back. We missed being here the last 2 weeks. Sounds like you guys were in good hands with Pastor Sung Soo, that you had a fun time with him. I did reflect over the past couple weeks about the fact that over the years, God has grown us into a really wonderful community. How over the years God has kind of done this. I remember back when I first came. Not that people weren't nice back then, not that we weren't close back then, but it is amazing to see how much God has done over the last 10, 12, 13 years in growing us and in shaping us and molding us and in building this really wonderful community. I've actually been feeling the last couple months, like how much we've changed and how much God has been working in our midst. So I've been thinking a lot about relationships, thinking a lot about like friendships and relationships. And the thing that's kind of struck me is it struck me how hard community actually is. It struck me how hard relationships are. There are books on almost every kind of relationship, how to make this relationship better, how to make that relationship better, how to make your marriage better, how to make your relationship with your kids better, how to make your relationship with your coworkers better. There's all these books about relationships. And when it comes to community, I've shared so much about how when we're dealing with our neighbors or people that we know, it strikes us how much people have a hard time finding community. There are a lot of people out there looking for a place to belong, looking for a place to be comfortable, looking for a place where they can find friends, they can find people to live life together, and how for so many people, they don't have that. Past generations, it used to be easier. You used to, if you're a Christian, you'd go to a church and you would find it, and it was no big deal. But now it seems to be much, much harder. As a matter of fact, a few weeks ago, some of the young adults were sharing with me about how popular this app is becoming, this app called Meetup. And it's not a dating app. It's not something, where you find kind of these relationships, but you find these friendships. It's an app designed to basically give you an opportunity to find people who have similar interests. So for instance, you go on to Meetup, and if you're interested in skiing, you look and see who are all the people around me that enjoy skiing. And then you plan a ski trip together. If you like knitting, then you find people who enjoy knitting and you find a place to meet up and you knit together. Or if you enjoy skiing and knitting at the same time, then I guess there's some kind of cross-reference of those people and you find ways to do things together. But it strikes at this reality that for a lot of people, relationships are hard and community is hard. The thing is that being Christian doesn't make it any easier. But here's what the Bible has to say is that the gospel has the power to reshape all of our relationships. It has the power to reshape the way that we deal with people, the way we build relationships, the way we deal with loved ones and family and friends. It has the power to reshape every single relationship in our lives. And so that's actually what I wanted to spend the next month talking about is I wanted to use the very tail end of Ephesians because in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul talks about these different relationships. And so in the tail end of Ephesians, we see this proof that the gospel does have the power to change every kind of relationship. And so this week we're going to be talking about community relationships. Next week we'll talk about marriage relationship. The following week we'll talk about family. And then the fourth week we'll talk about societal relationships. But essentially, this week, as we talk about relationships, this week we're going to focus on community. And so, as we look at Ephesians 4, you've already heard the passage. In the passage that we heard, we see three things about community. First, we see the challenge of community, then we see the new foundation for community, and the new freedom we find in God's community. Okay, so first, the challenge, second, the foundation, and third, the freedom. So first, the challenge. If you go to verses 1 through 3, it doesn't take Paul very, very long to tell us that community is hard. He says in verses 1 through 3, he says, "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So right there at the very front, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. It's a church that he's planted. It's a church that he worked with for years. He had taught and raised the leaders there. And he was writing because he had heard that there were problems there. The problems that they were experiencing is disunity. They were having disagreements, that the church was divided. And to a large degree, they were dividing along these Jewish and Greek cultural lines. But if you notice, he has to address that. And so in verse 2, he says, he tells them very, very directly, he reminds them that they need to be humble, right? That they need to be gentle, that they need to be patient, and that they need to bear with one another in love. And so we see that even for this church back in the beginning, even a church that Paul trained and raised up, my community was challenging. Didn't come easily. They weren't unified. And I think that's the reality we see a lot in churches today. There are a lot of churches today that are divided. A lot of churches that some of them divide over very important issues, things like doctrine, things like vision. But there are a lot of other churches that are divided for many other reasons, a lot less important. They're divided over preferences, over cultural practices. And I think as a pastor, I think I hear more and more about churches that are going through like division and problems than churches that are healthy. And I think that's kind of the reality of where we are. And it speaks to the fact that communities are hard to come by, but they're incredibly important. Matter of fact, you know, for those of you who are getting ready to go to college, those of you who've just started college a little while ago, I mean, if you're getting ready to go to college, one of the things your parents are praying for is that you go and you find friends, right? That's the big thing that we pray for. We pray that you go and you find friends because that's community. And we know how hard it is to go off to college, to go off to this new place, to be on your own, and to not have friends, to not have community, to not find people that you're comfortable with. Just as a little hint, for those of you who are getting ready to go to college, I would encourage you to seek out community and do it through these avenues. Start with your campus ministry. You know, go there and see if you can find people who are like-minded, people who, you know, who you can connect with, people you can be friends with. From there, look at the churches around. Don't start with the frats. Don't start with the sororities. That's kind of a completely different thing. But, you know, community is hard to come by, but it is incredibly important. And again, you would think that being a Christian and joining a church, it would come easily, that all of a sudden you have this immediate kind of ready-made group of friends. But a lot of you know that's not true either. I mean, there are a lot of people who go to churches looking for community. They stay for a few weeks, and then they leave because they feel like they can't find it there. They go to another church, they stay there for a few weeks, and then they go and they try somewhere else. We have a lot of people, Christians, going to good churches that still, for some reason, can't seem to find community. And, you know, that might be true for some of you who are here today. You know, you might, for some of you, maybe you've been here for a few weeks, or maybe it's been a few months. Maybe it's even been a few years. And you look and you say, I don't know how many good friendships I have. I don't know how close I am to people. I want to remind you that it is challenging, but I do want to encourage you not to give up, because it is important. Sometimes we do need to be more active instead of passive. We need to seek people out. We need to talk to people. We need to put ourselves out there. But I want to encourage you not to give up. I will say this. I've been thinking a lot about this, not just the past few weeks, but for the last few months. I think being away kind of solidified a lot of things for me, but I do want to encourage us as a church. I do love being here. You know, I love being a part of this church. It is a privilege, and I love what God is building here. I'm sometimes I forget to notice, But when I think about like all the years that we've been together, I'm amazed to see how much God has done and how much God is still doing. We've become a congregation that is welcoming, that is mindful, that is willing, that wants to reach out to people. I think over the last few years, I've realized we're becoming more multi-generational, which is a neat thing to see all the young kids grow up into not adulthood yet, but into teenagehood, to get older and to feel comfortable with the body of Christ. We're becoming a little bit more multicultural in terms of, as more people who are more on the Taiwanese side are a part of our congregation, we see these different cultural things, and yet we're still able to hold together. And I've shared this with the elders, but as a pastor, I know they feel this too. But as a pastor, I know that as a church and as a congregation, we do probably disagree about different things from time to time. But I am always grateful that for the time that I've been here, I've always been grateful for your love and your trust through things that we have disagreed about. And for me, I want to lead all of us, all of you, as best as I can. But community is challenging. Community is really, really difficult. Again, some of you who are here, maybe you feel like you haven't found it yet here. And I want to encourage you to keep praying, to keep going, to keep hanging on. And hopefully through conversations, through different things, you can find it here. So that's the first thing, is we see how challenging it is. And it is really, really, really hard. It doesn't just happen. Second thing we see is we see that in the gospel, though, we do have this foundation that God gives us to build community. And it's very unique. If you go to verse 4, in verse 4, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." So that's a lot of ones, that's a lot of alls. But basically, what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell us is he's trying to tell us that the gospel has the power to reshape how we do community. It has the power to give us a completely new and different foundation for how we build relationships and how we build a community together. And so in verses 4 and 5, if you notice, he wants to emphasize that. So he talks about the fact that we are one body, one spirit, right? We are called to one thing, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He wants to remind us of the fact that we have the same thing, right, that creates a foundation for us. Years ago, I worked at a company that was situated in Falls Church, right along the main drag on 7. And I remember, Falls Church is one of those areas, the last like 10 years, they've been revitalizing. New buildings have gone up and old buildings have been torn down. And I remember on my drive into work, there was one particular building. It was a Walgreens. I used to go there sometimes during lunch to grab things if I needed to, but I remember they leveled it, and then they began to build this apartment complex. And I remember I would drive by regularly, and I wouldn't notice day to day, but like week to week, month to month, I would see the work that they were doing. And I remember the first thing I saw was this huge hole being dug into the ground, and then I saw the foundation that they laid, this just concrete slab that they put out there. And what was amazing to me was, it's amazing to see this massive concrete singular slab that's put down that little by little is going to hold everything up in the entire building, right? That's going to hold up the girders and the rebar and the bricks and the mortar, and that everything's going to be situated on this massive foundation. And in a lot of ways, like, that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about, right? He talks about the fact that as a community, we are one body, and our foundation is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all, who's over all, through all, and in all. And he's showing us that we have this singular foundation that holds all of these different pieces together, that holds all of these different pieces up. And when you think about it, what he's saying is he's saying that as if you're a believer and if you're a part of a church, We have certain things in common. We have common beliefs. We have common experiences. And those things become a foundation for our community. The Greek philosopher Aristotle said that friendship requires three things. He said friendship requires first mutual affection. Second, it requires shared experience. And third, it requires a common level of existence. And so he's talking about the classes, you know, that you have to be part of the same class as someone else. But when you think about what the three are, the most important one is the shared experience, right? The shared experience leads to the mutual affection, and that's the friendship. And the shared experience is the things that we share in common. That's the foundation. You know, in a lot of ways, there are different things that we can share in common with people. I remember a few months ago, I was walking down the street, and I didn't think about it, but I had my old UConn, University of Connecticut t-shirt on. I was walking down the street, and a stranger going the other way pointed at my shirt and said, "Hey, nice." You know, and I didn't even think about what I was wearing, but, you know, I realized afterwards that he had gone to the school. I didn't go there, but I did ministry there. But it was one of those things, you know, immediately kind of shared experience. Said, "Hey, you know, UConn. I know that place. I was there." And that's, you know, relatively like superficial, relatively like it's not very deep, but I mean, it's a connection. I've seen people connect over, you know, have the shared experience of liking the same Taiwanese soup, you know, when we have those big meals downstairs, you know, where the moms make all the traditional food. Sometimes I'll see people go, "Oh yeah, you like that soup too? Yeah, me too," right? And that's shared experience. I've seen people also bond over, like, unfortunately, similar childhood trauma, right? Like, "Oh, that happened to you when you were a kid? Yeah, me too. Yeah, my parents did that to me too," right? And there's kind of this connection. Essentially, like what Aristotle is saying is that friendship relies on experiences that make you look at someone and say, "You too? Yeah, me too," right? You find these things in common, and you realize that you have the same experiences, the same things in your life, and that can be the groundwork for building a friendship. And obviously, you know, the deeper things go, the deeper those shared experiences are, the deeper the connections are, the deeper the relationship goes. Right. So, for instance, you know, the guy that I saw on the street who said, you know, "Hey, you know, nice shirt." I mean, you know, he had gone to UConn and I'd been at UConn for a little while. I'm not going to get into a 30-minute discussion about trauma that happened to me when I was a kid. You know, I'm not going to share about the problems that I'm going through, you know, in adulthood as I grow older. Right. That's relatively superficial. But, you know, when you bond with someone over childhood trauma, then you begin to talk about other things in your life. You begin to talk about deep things. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is he's saying that as Christians, right, we have an ability to experience a community that's deeper because we share the deepest things in common. Right, we share these experiences of faith that are so deep that they have rewritten the foundations of your life. They have rewritten the ways in which you view life. They've rewritten the ways in which you view yourself. They've rewritten the ways in which you think. You have it because of Jesus Christ. You have a new hope. You have a new new motivation. You have a new way of living. And so, what the Apostle Paul is saying is, if you share those things, that's deeper than what anyone else can share. Right? When you share with someone else things that have changed, radically changed your life, then you have the ability to have these relationships that go far deeper than anyone else. And that's true. Right? You can begin to open up your life. You can begin to share your joys, your sorrows, your hopes, your fears. You can begin to share your pains, your struggles. And you can be real. Here's the question, though. If that's true, why aren't all Christians great friends? Right? Why do we still struggle with that? Because we do. I mean, that's one of the things that last summer we did a men's gathering for probably about 4 months. And one of the things we talked about when we gathered to pray was was, why is it so hard for us to get real with each other? Why is it so hard to share our struggles and to pray for one another and to be close? Why don't we have deeper relationships? And I think this is kind of what it comes down to. Even though we share one Lord, one faith, one baptism, we have to actually share those things. In other words, we have to actually talk about those things. It's not enough to just go, oh, you're a Christian? Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, cool. We actually have to share those things. We have to share with people things like, we have to talk about our faith. We have to talk about our growth. We have to talk about our experiences. We have to talk about our struggles. And that's a little bit harder to do. I know for a lot of people are afraid to do that. A lot of people are uncomfortable with that. But I think that's why we don't have these great relationships yet, because we need to share those things. We need to ask, and we need to share how our faith is, how we came to faith. We need to hear each other's testimonies, you know, how and when Jesus came into our lives, why we decided to entrust our lives to Jesus. We need to ask, and we need to share what Jesus means to us. We need to ask, and we need to share how God has been working in our lives, how he's been convicting us of our sins, how we've been experiencing his grace, how we've been changing, how we've been struggling to change. We need to ask, and we need to share about what we're learning from Scripture, about what we're how we're growing through the sermons, how we're changing through the Bible studies, or how we're not through those things. And for a lot of people, it feels awkward. It feels awkward to talk about like these spiritual things. It feels awkward to talk about Jesus sometimes. It feels awkward to ask people to do that, and it feels awkward to just tell people too. Someone kind of said, used this analogy, but he said this. He said, if you go out to a book club, right? If you kind of find out that there's a book club coming up and you want to be part of it and you go out there, don't be surprised if someone asks you about the book, right? Don't be surprised if someone asks you. Don't be surprised if you have to talk about the book, right? If you go to a book club, be ready to talk about the book, right? Be ready to be asked about the book. And in a lot of ways, like, that's the same thing about church, right? If you go to church, don't be surprised if someone asks you about Jesus, right? If you go to church, don't be surprised if people expect you to talk about Jesus. I mean, that should be normal, right? But in a very funny way, like, sometimes we are uncomfortable. Sometimes we don't want to offer those things up. But here's the thing. When you do, right, when you do ask, when you do share, you do start to feel more connected, right? You do start to feel more connected because there's shared experience. And when you share your testimony, when you share your struggles, when you share the ways that God is growing you, or the ways you're struggling, or the sins he's convicting you of, other people in their hearts say, me too, me too. When you do, right, it starts to build more and more community, more and more closeness. So that's the second thing that we see, and I think that's something we can definitely be working on. New foundation for community, deeper foundation. Third thing that we see here is a new freedom in community. Go to verse 7, and we'll go to verse 13. We won't finish all the way out, but starting in verse 7, it says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So essentially in this passage, what we see is in the first part, the Apostle Paul emphasizes unity, right? It says you're one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And then in verse 7, he shifts and he says, but you have different gifts. You have different abilities. You have different functions. You have different callings. And then in verse 13, he says, all these differences are actually good. Right? These differences are ways in which God matures us and where he brings all of us together into fullness. And what I want you to notice is what he's saying here is that in Christian community, the gospel gives us this unique freedom to express our uniqueness, but to do it in the best possible way possible, right? To express our uniqueness, but to do it in the very best way possible. And that's really important because there's a problem with community. I don't know if you notice this, but there's kind of different views of community. There's a traditional view of community, which is people feel like is too restrictive. And there's a modern view of community that people feel is too destructive. All right, so the traditional view goes something like this. In a traditional view of community, the idea in a traditional society or in a traditional community, they say community matters above everything else. Right? Community matters above everything else. And so the message of the community to the individual is this. They say the way that you find your true self, the way that you find your true calling is you fit into the community. Right, the way that you find your true self, the way that you find your true calling, the way that you find your true fullness is you fit into the community. You follow the norms of the community. You follow the expectations of the community. You take on the family business. You get married when everyone else gets married. You have the same amount of kids as everyone else. You fit in. And in traditional communities, they work for some people, but other people have to run off to the city. Right? Other people have to get away because they want to be, they say, I want to be me, right? I want to make my own choices. I want to do my own thing. And what they're saying is they're saying it's far too restrictive. I'm not going to have someone else tell me what to do. I'm not going to have someone else tell me the job I have to have or the way I'm supposed to live. I will decide for me, right? Far too restrictive. But when you look at the modern view, the modern view says the individual matters above all, not the community. It says the individual matters above all. And so in the modern view, they say the way that you find your true self is by choosing to follow your own dreams, choosing to follow your own passions, choosing to follow your own path. Now, here's the problem with that. The first way is restrictive. The modern way is destructive. Right? What the modern way leads to, and this is what we've been seeing in society, and this is the reason why people are going to things like Meetup to try to find community, is in the modern view, it's destructive because you do the things you want to do, and in doing them, you have lost and you've broken community. All right, for someone who says, the individual matters above the community, and I find myself by chasing my own dreams. You chase your own dreams, and you find that you're all alone. You chase your dreams, and you find out that you don't have the support of people. You don't have the friendships that you need. You find yourself lost, alone, and broken. And you see, the uniqueness about the Christian vision, the uniqueness about what the gospel does, is the gospel says, there's an individuality in you that matters. There's a way in which God has gifted you. There's a way in which God has called you. There are unique things that you have in you, and you need to use them. But those things need to be used to bless others, not to simply pursue your own dreams and do your own thing. And you see, when you do that, you are truly free. Right? It's not restrictive and it's not destructive. Right? You can be yourself, but at the end, you don't find yourself lost and broken because you're using your life for others. You know, you can be truly you. You can express your uniqueness, but you can do it in a way that blesses and helps other people. You can use your life to make a difference, to make your community better. Now, here's the question we'll end with, and I'll just finish with this really quickly, but what is the motivation then for building and living in this type of community, Right? What is the motivation for wanting to live this way, wanting to build a community like this, wanting to build off of these deep common experiences, and then wanting to express my uniqueness within the community? What is the motivation for all of that? In Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 16, the Apostle Paul says this. And verse 2 kind of answers a lot of the relationship questions theologically. So in chapter 2, verse 14, it says, for speaking of Jesus, it says, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in the ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Now, what the Apostle Paul says is this. He says, the motivation for living in and building this type of community, this type of gospel community, is that in Jesus Christ has laid down his life to bring you into community with the perfect community, with the Trinity, with God himself. That Jesus Christ went to the cross, and in his death and in his resurrection, he did that to make you one with the Father. Right, one with the Trinity. Right, when you think about what the Trinity is the most exclusive country club there's ever been. Right, you ever drive to a country club and you go, wow, it'd be so nice to have enough money to be a part of that. Wow, who could be a part of that? The Trinity is the most exclusive country club out there. And yet, what Paul says here in Ephesians 2 is he says, Jesus Christ laid down his life so that you could join. So that you could be a part of it, so that you could join the most exclusive community there is, not just on the face of the earth, but anywhere. And that means that if you know that that's what Jesus has come to do for you, that he has come to bring you into the most exclusive community that there ever has been, then you want to bring that community, that uniqueness, that exclusiveness into the world, that you want to create a community around you, right? With other people who love Jesus, who experienced his life, death, and resurrection shaping them. And that you want to create that type of community so that others can come in and be one too. That's the true motivation. And when you understand that, when you realize that you've been reconciled to God, that becomes your ability to reconcile with anyone else. Let's pray. And Father, we do want to thank you that over the years you have grown us a lot as a community. We're not a perfect church, we're not a perfect congregation, but you are doing so much to grow us and to change us, to renew us, and to make us more like what you desire. But we still do have a long way to go. And I do pray that some of these things that come up here, I pray that we embrace them, that we begin to dig deeper foundations through sharing our faith better with one another, talking about what Jesus means to us, sharing our experience of your grace and your goodness in our lives, our struggles too. And we also pray that we can find a freedom here to live our uniqueness and to do it in a way that is meant to be a blessing, to use our gifts and our callings and our abilities, to want to help and benefit others. And in that, may we become stronger and stronger. But Lord, may we do want to do any of all those things because you've brought us into the most loving, the most wonderful, the most beautiful community there is. And now that we've experienced that, would help us to turn and to build that around us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.